This hour, we delve into the world of fonts. And where better to start than with Gotham? No, not Batman City. I mean Gotham, the font. Gotham was created by the team of Jonathan Heffler and Tobias Freer-Jones. Though Gotham has had many uses, it's most famous for one. Gotham is Obama's font, the font of hope and change. Jonathan Heffler and Tobias Freer-Jones spoke with Anne Strainchamps about the genesis of Gotham.
Well, it had a very humble beginning. When Tobias and I began working together 10 years ago, one of the things that we'd noticed, we pass all the time on the street on the way to meetings, is the Port Authority bus terminal in New York City by Times Square. It's a very ordinary building, and it has a very ordinary sign. And the sign on the side that some anonymous metalsmith must have made 40 years ago just looks like what we think of as kind of average lettering. Someone designed the thing to look unmannered and simple and just to say nothing more than the message. But the letters themselves are especially attractive, and we began thinking that maybe this bit of lettering could be extrapolated into a full typeface and then finally a full family of typefaces.
It was clear that this first example was made by an engineer and not a designer or a typographer or any of the more sort of usual practitioners of lettering. And that kind of plain-spoken kind of workman's attitude is what we tried to use to tie together this whole family.
But it was also a theme of lettering that we began to see more and more in the environment. I mean, once we'd identified this one artifact that would be the seed for the typeface, we began to see it everywhere. We'd see painted signs, we'd see gilded numbers on office buildings and plaques in cast bronze, and begin to see this same kind of theme emerging of these very undesigned, plain-spoken-looking letters that all influenced the development of the Gotham font in their own way.
That's fascinating. So something that most readers might not notice when they're reading something that's imprinted in Gotham typefaces, that there's a whole kind of historical subtext to this particular typeface.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very funny question to ask things like where a reader might have seen our typefaces. If we've done our jobs right, they've never noticed our typefaces. I mean, they've seen them on their toothpaste tubes and on the dashboards of their cars and their cell phones and everywhere else. But these are designed artifacts that are not really meant to be conspicuous in a lot of ways.
That must be sort of an odd thing to do, to spend your life designing something that's meant to, in some ways, be invisible.
Yeah, I think most professions are actually like that, but it is odd to give visible form to something that's ubiquitous but not really commented on.
So what are the fundamentals a font designer has to consider when creating a font? I mean, what makes a good font?
Well, I think there's a kind of tightrope to walk between getting the identity of each letter across and making it clear that, you know, the A is the A and not something else, and the B is the B and not something else, and having enough variety in these shapes to make those identities clear, but also to have a kind of unity between these shapes so that they can be rearranged in any kind of arbitrary order and still create a coherent pattern that can be recognized and read without any sort of conscious effort.
There was a wonderful observation made by Robert Bringhurst, who is a sort of typographic historian or typographic philosopher. He said that typography is the craft in which the microscopic and macroscopic constantly converge. And that really aptly describes what Tobias and I do. Part of designing a typeface is making sure the letters are attractive, but part of it is making sure that the typeface is attractive, that when you're looking at a paragraph of text, there is a uniformity and a consistency. Nothing stands out as having too much space around it or too dark or too light or upsets the rhythm of reading.
Are there particular letters or combinations of letters that are more challenging than others? Are there kind of stumbling blocks along the way toward designing a typeface?
There are many letters kind of nest together naturally. Capital H followed by a capital E. You have two flat sides that are parallel. Anything with a diagonal stroke can be harder to space. And then you have odd combinations like a capital L followed by a capital J, or a lowercase g followed by a lowercase j in words like logjam or Ljubljana in the case of the LJ. One of the things that we spend a lot of time doing is just hunting for words. And so we have this vast anthology of oddball phrases and words that torture letter combinations in various ways. So if a lowercase f is followed by a letter with an umlaut on top, we can predict what's going to happen.
Kind of like a coach putting an athlete through her paces.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a kind of torturous proving ground for fonts.
So getting back to Gotham, this one fairly famous typeface that you designed, it was initially a commission for GQ magazine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what were they looking for in a font?
Well, as with most briefs that we get for commission work, there are two parts of it. One is highly emotional and the other is very practical. The emotional was they wanted something modern, clean, straightforward, unbiased.
And masculine.
Masculine, of course. but on the practical side, they wanted a family of typefaces they could use for everything in the magazine. They needed the typeface to function in small sizes, and they run some very small type in GQ, also in large sizes for the headlines. So it's used both on the front of the magazine in 72 point and on the spine of the magazine in 6 point for the Priceline.
Well, Gotham really came to the public attention during Barack Obama's presidential campaign. How did the Obama staff wind up choosing Gotham?
You know, I've yet to get to the bottom of that. We've talked to them several times, and I actually visited them during the campaign. I think they liked the typeface, and it was as simple as that. I know some of the visual qualities of the design recommend it. A candidate whose name begins with an O certainly benefits from a very clear, circular, dramatic O. It's an odd coincidence that if you set Obama in capital letters, every letter is symmetrical, and Gotham is a typeface that plays upon these geometries in a way that kind of underscores the virtues of those letters.
But also, I think the geometric structure of it, I think it resonates with a kind of a campaign message of making a new start and, you know, a kind of clean slate approach. And I think that the sort of the simplicity of the forms, I think, matches that pretty well.
It's also a 21st century typeface, and political typography is notoriously conservative. The typeface that the McCain campaign used was from the 1950s. The typeface that the Hillary Clinton campaign used is a descendant of one from the 1750s. Gotham, being a font from 2000, I think recommended it to the Times in a way that no other campaign was really able to capitalize on.
So I picture a group of typographers getting together shortly after the campaigns all began and sitting around and critiquing the different candidates' typographies. What would you say?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of criticism, certainly, of the Clinton and McCain identities. We did a blog post about it in which I compared what McCain did to the kind of aftershave packaging you might find at a foreign airport. It didn't really seem of the times, and it really didn't seem to evoke the candidate either. It seemed like an arbitrary choice. And that's one of the hardest things to do with the typeface, I think, is to match it to the subject matter in a way that really feels believable.
Mm. And what about Hillary Clinton's typeface?
We're seeing something, sort of a suggestion of something a bit pharmaceutical.
Yeah, I was thinking it was either breakfast cereal packaging from the 80s or maybe a kind of sleepy literary magazine, but it didn't have the kind of vibrancy or the strength of ideas or conviction that the candidate did. It didn't seem a good match for her at all.
So looking at the typefaces early in the campaign, were you tempted to predict the outcome of the election, saying, gee, we've got two really conservative traditional typefaces in this brand new, fresh 21st century. I know who's going to win.
Well, you know, I think we had once Obama was using Gotham, I think we had sort of understandable bias in one direction there.
Yeah. It's like having a politician hold your baby and take the photograph. It's suddenly, when you see the candidate standing in front of letters that you drew in your own office, it's a very compelling connection that's hard to shake.
Kind of got a vested interest.
Well, absolutely.
You know, Gary Hustwit, the director of the documentary Helvetica, says that typefaces are a subtle form of propaganda. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think propaganda is sort of an unloaded word, but I think they are signals of some kind, you know, which you know, the viewer may be more aware of or less aware of, just, you know, the same way that showing up to a job interview, you know, in a crisp new suit will be one kind of signal, and, you know, showing up in your pajamas will be another kind of signal.
So typography is the dress of words?
Essentially, yes. And, you know, it signals your intent, you know, to the reader, even before the content has come across, you know, whether this is very serious and credible and it should be taken as such, or if it's, you know, sort of playful and lighthearted or ironic or whatever. And, you know, a good designer can match typefaces to content so that the content's message is, you know, sort of amplified and made even more clear.
I think a marvelous proof of that are the ads you see in newspapers for movies, where they'll render the logo of the movie in black and white only, and even divorced from color, imagery, the names of the stars, anything else visual, you can immediately tell if it's a screwball comedy or it's a touching romantic picture or if it's a horror flick. There's a kind of vernacular built into all of these industries that leans very heavily on typography and on the expectation that viewers are going to understand at a glance what they're getting into.
Jonathan Heffler and Tobias Freer-Jones are the creators of Gotham, Obama's font. Anne Strainsham spoke with them.